Good news out of Orlando, Florida. This is the Pete Shepherd Show with Pete Shepherd on American Airlines Patriots.com radio.
Second down and two. Woodhead up the middle. First down. He's inside the 25, inside the 20, turning outside. 15, 10, 5. Touchdown. Danny Woodhead. Boy, did he scoot. Exploded through the hole and then just cut it to the outside and outran the defense.
Now, here to break down the game and look ahead to next week, the man everyone loves, especially the quarterback.
I love Pete. I always appreciate Pete.
Pete Shepherd.
Well, hey there, and a happy belated Merry Christmas, everybody. Hope you had a healthy and a safe one. I did. And welcome again to another edition of the Pete Shepherd Show here on Patriots.com. We're going to be here until 6 in the p.m. tonight, and man, Kev, 2 hours isn't going to be enough for me today. I got to tell you, just forget about now how the guys just got me pumped up about this team.
Yeah, they stoked the flame a little.
They did stoke the flame a little. But that's the. I mean, they're trying to be sometimes overly objective. But no, they do a great. They do a fantastic job. But I think the thing is overall we agree on we agree. They're just pointing out some possible scenarios with the Patriots and Michael Vick, and I certainly understand that. But they also have to, in turn, realize what the Philadelphia Eagles may have to encounter as well. So, and I'll get to that and a lot more coming up. I have so much to talk about today. First of all, the Patriots against the Buffalo Bills was I tried. See, I do my best. I'm humanitarian at heart. I tried my best to warn some of the prognosticators last week about what would happen when you jump off the bandwagon too early because of basically a team that really could have cared less that Matt Flynn was playing for the Green Bay Packers, okay? The Patriots dominate the Bills in Buffalo. It's been that way for a long time, nearly a decade. And when are people going to start listening to me about stuff with this team? I'm telling you, I don't get the scores and the blowouts wrong very often. I didn't really give you a prediction on the Green Bay game because I wasn't sure who was going to play quarterback. Certainly, if I remember correctly, I said I thought it would probably be if Aaron Rodgers was playing a close game. Now, it turned out to be a close game. Flynn was playing, and he played, you know, fairly well until the end. But the mentality of the team, trust me, is not the same knowing that Matt Flynn was going to play quarterback as Aaron Rodgers. That aside, you get all these people who just jump off the bandwagon, who want to just jump to criticize right off the bat because of the way they played, and they think that's going to carry over. And I tried to warn everybody last week that the NFL doesn't usually work that way, not just with the Patriots, but with a lot of teams. You know, we all see bad teams. We've seen teams before, the Lions, et cetera, and the old New Orleans Saints, you know, lose 14, 15 in a row. I understand that, and those are trendy. You know, those are far and few between now in the NFL. Very rarely do you see a team play like the Patriots did against the Packers. And as good as they are, it's going to continue against the Bills. And I don't understand why some people don't get it. I think most of you do get it. Most of you understand how special this New England Patriot team is, this version in 2010, soon to be 2011. Once again, proving how dominant they can be. They go into Buffalo, a team that had been playing fairly well and probably could have won 3 or 4 more games. Been playing very tough, particularly at home, played tough against the Steelers, should have beaten them, should have beaten a lot of teams. And they just simply get annihilated. I mean, they had their first drive, and they looked okay, marching down the field for the field goal. And after that, it was all over. All over. Patriots went to work and just dismantled the Buffalo Bills again in Buffalo. I mean, it's just that simple. So now the big question is really not a lot to focus on the Patriots and the Bills. But, I mean, there's a lot of positives that came out of that game. I mean, how banged up they were and the flu-like symptoms and the flu that they had with the team. You know, guys, but, you know, Crumpler and Gronkowski, Matt Light had a tremendous. I mean, all those people who want to hate on Matt Light, I think so unnecessarily over the years because I want to focus on 4 or 5 plays out of the 60 that usually occur. An average NFL offensive team usually has about 60 to 65 offensive plays. They want to always rag on Matt Light for 3 or 4 or 5 of them, and they always say, well, what about the other 55? But Matt Light was awesome. So was the offensive line was awesome. They rushed for 165 yards in the first half on Sunday. But guys like Light and Crumpler, who was amazing, Gronkowski, other guys on defense, you know, Moore and Fletcher, and Landon Cohen, who's that, who just, you know, was here for not too long earlier in the week, had a start at nose tackle. Vince Wilfork, usual dominant self. I mean, there's just so many positives to take out of that game. And I hope many of you, I hope most of you were not surprised at how well the Patriots played against the Bills in Buffalo. I hope you guys, some of you did. I know some of you fell into that trap, and I saw some Facebook messages on Sunday, things like, you know, face it, it's going to be a tough one in Buffalo, this, that, and the other thing. And, you know, and I always ask myself why you come to these conclusions based on, you know, either a quarter or a half of football like they played against Green Bay, or if we even want to lump in the entire game. It just doesn't work that way. Very, very rarely does it work that way. This Patriot team is the best team in the NFL. And let me just show you. You talk about defense. And like I was talking to Paul Perillo earlier about it. Just found out. Thank you, Kevin. Just found out that my old pal, NFL Network's Vic Carucci, will be joining us at 4:25, which was in like 11 minutes. So that's great. I have a lot to ask Vic. Some of the topics, and just getting off as I go on, as I interrupt myself again, a couple things I want to touch on today. Not just the Patriots. Of course, there's a great debate, and I don't think it's much of a debate, to be honest with you, when you really look at the numbers. You know, Michael Vick is a nice story. He's been fantastic at times this year. And, you know, a couple of fantastic feats. The Washington game, like I said, I'll never forget that. One of the greatest athletic accomplishments I've ever seen on anybody at any level, okay? But Tom Brady is having a magnificent season. And you just go through how he has had to morph from a Randy Moss team to a non-Randy Moss team. And people think it's easy. You know what's why it's easy? Is because Tom Brady is that great. That's why. There just aren't a lot of great quarterbacks that can handle that situation. I heard one numbnut on ESPN say Peyton Manning should be MVP because of the diversity that he's had to go through this year. Are you kidding me? I mean, that person should not be allowed to write ever again. I got to find out who said that, but I did glance across it either early today or last night. I forget after reading all the NFL articles the last few days. What I find particularly amusing. And by the way, some of the topics I want to get into today, I got all these thoughts running through my head. This is why I like having my own show, because I can just, you know, ramble on. And I will take as many emails as I can. But I want to know, and these are a lot of gray area topics. I'm not saying there's no right or wrong. Most of you know politically, I'm a moderate conservative. That's the way I tend to look at myself. You know, love me or hate me, that's the way I am. I'm a moderate conservative. I'm not saying I'm anti-liberal. I hate everybody that's liberal or everybody that's a Democrat or anything like that. I don't look at it that way. I go for the person. The party doesn't mean anything to me. I think we get too caught up in this country on politics with an R or a D in parentheses next to their name instead of looking at the person and what they stand for. That being said, Ed Rendell is my new favorite person on the planet. The governor, Democratic governor, by the way, of Pennsylvania. Get to his comments in case you missed it. I'm sure you've seen it. And I'm also curious about what you people think about President Obama calling Jeffrey Lurie, the owner of the Philadelphia Eagles, and complimenting him on Michael Vick and how nice it was he gave him a second chance. I find it odd that it came up when the Eagles are on the cusp of a second seed NFC and a first round bye in the playoffs. I find it very odd. I'm thinking to myself, well, why wasn't that phone call made at the beginning of the season when Kevin Cobb was going to be the starting quarterback? Just a thought, you know. See, or if the Eagles were 5-10 instead of 10-5, does the president make that call? I don't think so. So I know his popularity has gone down a little bit, and again, this is why politicians get a bad rap, because of little stunts like this. Now, in the grand scheme of things, does it really matter? No, it really doesn't. It's just a little topic other than the Patriots I want to throw out there to see if you guys think it was kind of cheesy that the president did that. I just think if he's going to call Jeffrey Lurie about that, you know, he could probably call half a dozen teams and all of sports and talk about different issues. I find it a curious time that he chose to call Mr. Lurie and compliment him on Michael Vick when the team is 10-5 and ready to clinch the second seed in the NFC. The other debate and the Ed Brendel certainly about the Eagles, you know, canceling that game, and you know, whether it was a combination of Roger Goodell and the mayor, you know, whatever conspiracy theories are out there too about Michael Vick having to play in the snow. I understand all that. It's a very debatable topic, gray area issue, and I've gone back and forth with a few of my Facebook friends all week long about it. And they all, I mean, everybody brings up very good points, and we all know the safety issues when it comes to that stuff. We all get it. I understand that. But you talk to most people who attend NFL games in bad weather, and they will tell you it's probably worse to go in a torrential downpour than it is in the snow. It's probably worse. And just as bad traffic-wise and safety, all that stuff. But when you cancel the, I mean, 8 inches of snow, I think they barely got 8 inches around the stadium, Lincoln Financial Field or Lincoln Financial Park in Philadelphia. It was around 8 inches. I didn't love it calling for this, you know that Pennsylvania was going to be covered in snow for the next 8 months, but they really only got 8 inches. And we, you know, we've certainly seen that around here. I can remember games in the 80s and, you know, even in the 90s of, how about the Fog Bowl? Remember the Fog Bowl in the playoffs between the Eagles and the Bears? That game didn't get canceled.
What about the fog between the Patriots and the Steelers?
Oh, that game too. Remember
you could
that?
Barely see the balls going up in the air.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, certainly there have been blizzards. I mean, far worse blizzards in Denver, Green Bay, Cleveland, Buffalo, the old vet when Minnesota used to play. I mean, it's you know, so I was somewhat outraged when they canceled that game because of snow. I just think it sets a bad precedent. I understand when they did it in Miami a few years ago. That was a hurricane ready to hit. That is like, you know, that's kind of like a life-threatening situation. Now, I know there have been, and I know this last storm that we just had, obviously. I mean, you saw what happened in Scituate. I mean, some horrible, traumatic things that have happened in bad weather. But when it comes to sports, especially when it comes to football, players play. You play. That's what. Parcells said all the time. He goes, let's say, you know, we're football players. We play on Sunday. That's what we do. And I guarantee you that most of the season ticket holders and most of the players wanted to play that game on Sunday, and they got screwed because they didn't want to play. The mayor didn't want to play. Safety issues. All, you know, safety issues and bad weather. It doesn't have to be snowing, okay? I understand there's lightning sometimes you come off the field. I remember a Raider-Kansas City game. Back about 10 years ago, they had to run off the field because it wasn't because of the rain. And let me tell you something, it was like 4 or 5 inches at Arrowhead that day in about 2 seconds. It was unbelievable. But I remember the lightning started. So, yeah, I mean, that I understand. I don't understand canceling games in the NFL because of snow. Or postponing them. I don't get it. I think it's wrong. And certainly it was an overreaction, I thought, by the city as mayor. So that's just one other topic I want to get into. There's a lot of gray area there. And again, I understand the concerns about weather. But I'm telling you, there are people who will tell you that they wouldn't trade those experiences also for anything in the world. As I was on another radio station in Boston today, earlier this morning, talking about it. And the host was arguing with me at the end about people, you know, who really didn't want to be there. I'm telling you, anybody who was at the snowball game in 2001, granted, not blizzard-like conditions, but certainly 6-7 inches of snow fell during that game. Even though you couldn't see Vinatieri's field goal go through the upright, I don't think there's anybody on the planet who was at that stadium and at that game that day would trade that experience for anything in the world. The Miami game here a few years ago with Teddy Bruschi scoring at the end, same exact thing. Okay? There's a lot of examples I want to get to. That's another topic we're going to delve into today. And also about the Patriots in an upcoming game with the Miami Dolphins and how often and how should the starters play. Should Brady play? Should he not play? I got some interesting numbers for you from years past. All right, going to take a quick break. It's the Pete Shepard Show here on Patriots.com. Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-543-7482. Email web radio at Patriots.com. When I come back, NFL Network's Vic Carucci. Vino will join us here on the Pete Shepard Show on Patriot.com.
Pete Shepard, the Pete Shepard Show on American Airlines Patriots.com radio.
So, Pat, how many Advantage miles have you racked up on American Airlines this year?
That's kind of a personal question, Brian.
It's nothing to be embarrassed about.
I'm not embarrassed.
Oh, okay, then I'll ask you again. How many miles have you racked up?
236,000.
Miles? That's got to be wrong, because I fly a lot more than you.
Well, flying isn't the only way you can earn advantage miles, Brian.
Right. I knew that.
I mean, you can earn miles when you buy all kinds of stuff, you know? Stuff you use every day.
Also, like, you know, ping pong balls, Argyle socks, really tall ladders.
Like clothes, you know, movie rentals, gas for your car.
Oh, shish kebabs, Russian nesting dolls, snow globes.
I was thinking, like, newspapers, you know? When you bank, go to restaurants.
Oh, fake mustaches.
Yeah, Brian, you can earn miles when you go to a novelty store and buy a fake mustache.
Awesome.
You can earn advantage miles for the stuff you buy every day, whatever that stuff may be. Learn more at aa.com/advantage. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
You may know that Verizon Fios has more HD channels than cable, but what you may not know is that now you can sign up for Verizon Fios with no term contract required. And if you're not absolutely satisfied, you can cancel with no early termination fees. That's right. You can get Fios TV, internet, and phone at a guaranteed low price of just $89.99 a month for a year with no term contract required. And if you don't love it, you can cancel with no early termination fees. Just call 1-866-892-6057. That's 1-866-892-6057, and you'll know why now is the best time to switch to Fios. Get your game face on. Play the Gridiron Challenge at patriots.com/gridironchallenge and enter for your chance to win tickets and a chance to win the grand prize, an all-inclusive trip to the big game. Brought to you by Verizon. For official rules and terms, visit patriots.com/gridironchallenge. For new customers only. Equipment charges, taxes, and fees, and other terms apply. Rate may increase after 1 year. Fios service is available in select areas. Offer expires 9/18/10. Call for more details.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Braves!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Now's your chance. Give Pete a call on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-543-7482.
All right, back here on Patriots.com. It is the Pete Shepherd Show. We are going to be here until 6 p.m. With you, our final show of 2010. How about that? Wow. And how annoying is it? And how many times over the next week or so will people say, see you next year, see you next year, see you next year? But it's this year, still in 2010, and let's head to the Ace Ticket Hotline and check in with my good pal, NFL Network, NFL.com's very own, the master Vic Carucci. Hi, Vic.
How's it going? Great to be with you.
You too. Belated Merry Christmas to you and your family, and hopefully you will have a Happy New Year. I'm sure you will. How's everything?
Everything's great, and same to you as well.
Well, what a season this has been in the National Football League. We'll touch on some other issues around the league in a second. I want to get to the Patriots. We haven't talked in about, I think, 7 or 8, maybe 9 weeks. Has this team surprised even you?
Absolutely. Because I did, you know, let me say, from the beginning, I thought they'd be certainly competitive and a winning team, but I didn't have them pegged as a division champion. I did, and certainly not a team that would secure home field advantage through the playoffs. But I did think they were going to give the team I projected to win the division, the Jets, a hard time. I thought it would be a close, difficult battle. And I think when your mindset is sort of like you really can't get much separation, and I think that's true throughout a large part of this league. You're sort of open to the idea that a lot of different things can happen. But my thought was it would be a struggle, and I was still in that mindset of what I saw happen against the Raiders and the Ravens in the playoffs last year in Foxborough, and that lingered, stayed with me, and I just didn't know if enough had been done to, particularly on the defensive side, to kind of change that thinking. But they've been so impressive and consistent and overcome so much, and the story's been told over and over again about what they've done, reinventing themselves offensively. And I'm impressed. Should you be impressed? Do you have a right to be impressed when the Patriots do the right thing as a team, because it's kind of what they do? That's sort of like standard operating procedure. But I'm still impressed, because I think they've done a lot without as much as maybe some other teams have.
You know, I talked to a lot of people nationally, locally, colleagues, friends, and all that stuff. And I know if you haven't watched this team all year long, and we've talked about this before in the past on radio and in person and whatnot, my biggest gripe amongst NFL fans and media alike is that they get too caught up in NFL net yardage numbers. And when I am a firm believer, and to me, the only four stats in the NFL that matter to me, for the most part, are red zone offense, red zone defense, turnover ratio, and points allowed. And you put this Patriot team, and that's why I think the defense has somewhat got a bad rep. Sure, there are holes. It's not the 85 Bears. I understand that. But I think it's been better all year long. But they have been up in most of these games they've been in. And I know some of them have ended up in closer games. But they have been up in the second half in most of these games by two touchdowns plus in so many of their wins. And there's so many garbage yards allowed in this game and in their season. And I think people sometimes get too caught up in net yardage numbers, what I call fantasy football numbers, and don't focus on enough about what I just said, red zone offense, red zone defense, and turnover ratio. Turnover ratio is huge in the NFL.
Yeah, I think I call those fine-tuned stats, what you're talking about, where you really try to zero in on places that games where it's so decisive. And to me, it is the third down situations, those conversions and passer ratings and such on third down, production on third down, goal line situations, like you said, red zone territory. Are you getting touchdowns? Are you getting field goals? And again, so many games in this league being generally as close as they are, and the competition level being not so great, as I was talking about earlier, the distance not being so great. The teams that do those things consistently well are the teams that succeed. I'm with you, too, on the idea that general yardage accumulated in the passing game, Pete, what does it matter anymore? The league, the league is set up to allow passing to be very productive, for receivers to operate without a whole lot of a whole lot of disruption from defenders. Everything about this game is set up so that the passing game flourishes. That's the most exciting part of it, and that's what gets people to pay the money to come and see it or tune it in on TV. So you do become jaded about that, and you do tend to want to look beyond that a little bit. And again, in the case, and I made this case for NFL.com, and I'm going to guess you were going to bring it up, but I'll bring it up anyway in the interest of self-promotion.
Sure, why not?
I did a column promoting the fact that Tom Brady should be making the case why he should be the league MVP and why this case is closed, even though Michael Vick is playing a game tonight.
You are correct, by the way. 100%.
Thank you. But in that is these intricate points of pulling together the reinvented offense, of getting young people like the rookie tight ends to play as well as they're playing, and to get a Danny Woodhead to be as productive as he is as a receiver and a running back. But just the consummate aspect of how this has come together and who's pulling it together, in addition to putting up certainly the kinds of numbers that scream MVP, but most impressively is how the mistakes have been minimized. And by the way, Vic's done a good job in that department as well, not as well as Brady has done. But no one has done what Brady has done, and he sets the record for attempts without the INTs. And he's gone. What is it now? Since the sixth week without throwing an interception. All of that stuff. And I was at that game Sunday in Orchard Park, New York. Mm-hmm. The wind, the cold, I mean, these are the conditions, and we've seen him do this before, not avoid these mistakes in weather conditions that often create mistakes.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you, staying in the division real quick, and let me ask you just real quick about what are your thoughts on this week's game coming up with Miami. The big topic is going to be how often should they play, the starters, Brady, all that stuff. And I was going to pull out an article, and I did pull out the article, and you probably remember this. In 2004, remember they played San Francisco the last game of the season, and I distinctly remember Belichick at the beginning of the week was saying, you know, as usual, doesn't give you an exact amount of time. Most of us thought Brady would play a quarter, maybe a half tops. Well, they screwed up. They were so pathetic in the first quarter. I think Brady threw two picks. Corey Dillon fumbled. And all of a sudden, it's like 7-7 at the half. And Belichick left them all in until, late in the third quarter because he was so upset with the way they were playing. So, I mean, we can speculate. I don't know how long these guys are going to play. I really don't. Yeah. I think it's difficult to speculate.
It's difficult because I don't think Bill has any hard and fast rule approaching this. Clearly he doesn't. And, I think there must be a part of him. And you know, like I said, we don't get let in to hear this or see this. We have to guess most of the time. But we tend to speculate or read into as much as we can with whatever he does reveal. That it's about, you know, staying as finely tuned as you can possibly be at this stage when you're heading into the postseason. Now, they're going to have a bye, and there's going to be a long time between their final game of the regular season and when they play again. And I think, again, given all those wheels that are turning in his head, the head coach's head, he's considering that. I'm sure he's mm-hmm. going to consider that this part of it is giving his quarterback, giving his other players, you know, as much time as possible. At the same time, though, there's got to be a little bit of a haunting memory, maybe a big part. You know where I'm going to go.
Of course, Nate Lamb, Wes Welker.
Houston, mm-hmm. Texas last year and won. Wes Welker winding up with a season ending and at the time of fear that it might have been a career ending type of injury. So I and that was just as freaky as could be, but freaky things happen. Mm-hmm. Players can get hurt at any time when they're on the field.
Stay within the division real quick. I'm just going to say it flat out to you. To me, Rex Ryan is never going to win anything. To me, and it's not just my prejudice. You know how much I hate the Jets. I'm really trying to be he's done an okay job with the team. I understand that they're back into the playoffs again, but I thought he looked like a jackass again up there at the podium laughing and goofing around, and just despite the feet story with the foot story with his wife and all that crap aside, I just don't know how you laugh and joke. I think the guy's over his head as a head coach, and he's never going to win anything as far as I'm concerned.
Well, I don't know. Here's my thinking on that, Pete. And I think I might be coming at it from a more objective angle. Mm-hmm. I'm sure I am.
I'm sure you are. But
only because, again,
I admit it.
You've been very upfront about that, and I respect
really
that.
Really,
but here's where I am, and I've known Rex a long time. So in terms of disclosure, I do have an affinity for him personally. But this was long before he became a head coach. I didn't know what kind of a head coach he would be, and I told him to his face in an interview about his head coaching future when he was coordinating the Ravens defense, that I said, you know, you're kind of rough, man. When you sit down in that interview, I don't know. I think you need to polish your act or you're going to have a hard time getting a head coaching job. His response to me is, I'm going to be who I am. I'm going to stay to what I know and you get what you get. And if you don't like it, then you don't have to hire me. So apparently, you know, the Jets saw that. I wasn't privy to the interview. I've seen no videotape of really any, and I know it's not just one conversation, but say the first sit down he had with Woody Johnson, it clearly didn't turn Woody Johnson off that Rex might have been what Rex told me he was going to be in that interview. And a guy who's very rough on the edges, as you said, he doesn't to you and maybe to a lot of other people sound very head coach-like. There is I think the right word is goofiness to his style and approach to things. But here's my other thought. It is 2 years and two playoffs that he's delivered as a head coach. The record shows that. And we go around the league and we look at the various history of different coaches in different places who have been maybe more head coach-like in their demeanor, in their approach, in their plan, who impress us and sound and look the part better than he does in every respect. and their teams don't get a sniff of the postseason. And, you know, and I'm sitting here saying, well, maybe, you know, there's something more to this guy than the critics aren't seeing. And the other part of it is, as a defensive coordinator, I'd let him run my defense any day of the week and build my defense because I know he knows what he's doing.
Oh, I'm with you as far as that goes. Defensive coordinator, yeah. No question about it. He's one of the best, maybe one of the best ever, as far as a defensive coordinator. I'm just saying,
and if he has a better if he has a better quarterback, I think there's a lot of question with Sanchez. I'm sure you've had those. I know we've talked about that before and off the air. But Sanchez is, although, you know, he showed me a little bit these last 2 weeks, especially with the bum shoulder in Chicago, more than I thought. But is a better quarterback, a more accomplished guy, a more experienced but talented guy? He's got more experience in Mark Brunell, but he certainly doesn't have any talent there to put that guy in the field. Is that how much of a difference would that make for him? Because this team has gotten as far as it's gotten primarily because of its defense, which has had some disasters recently, and a running game.
Yeah, and the defense, which, and then I want to move on for a second, but, I mean, looking at the points allowed overall, they've only allowed 9 less points this year than the Patriots. 9, that's it. This great Jets vaunted defense has only allowed 9 less points than the Patriots.
Right. And I know, and, hey, I was there that night in Foxborough. You know, when I say how well his defense played, that to me, and I wrote this, for NFL.com that night from the Patriot, from the Gillette Stadium press box, that, you know, this was, calling it humbling was the understatement of all. This was a wretched embarrassment. This cut right to the core of what defines their team and what defines their head coach. So I went there. I went with all of that. Yet they still, and then they lose the following week to Miami. But to pull it together in Pittsburgh, which obviously was just enough for them in this league and in this conference to back in to the postseason, and but maybe even less so than last year when you had the full beeper backup thing like you couldn't believe that they did last year, and then find themselves in the AFC Championship game. Something has to, you got to say something counts. And I was in San Diego and watched them knock off the Chargers on the road, and whatever accomplishment that is, it is. And they had to go on the road to beat Cincinnati. So they're up on the Colts
Indianapolis at halftime,
when
right?
The Colts had healthy people. So there's just, I'm with you to the extent that you got to scratch your head and say, how's it done? And it's okay not to be sold on it, but this is 2 years, 2 postseasons. Yep, he's a guy who talks a lot, and maybe that there's a little bit of method to that madness, because when he talks and puts all the attention on him and all his goofiness, it takes some of the pressure off his players.
Two more quick opinions, if you will, comments on two quick things. One, this game that was canceled or postponed in Philadelphia the night, I'll give you my thoughts real quick. I thought it was kind of disgraceful. I agree completely with Ed Rendell, the governor of Pennsylvania, his recent comments, and I'm sure I know you've seen them. I just think, you know, 5 inches of snow had fallen before kickoff. We've seen, and you have seen, and you have covered over the years, conditions much worse. Now, look, I understand personal safety. We all get it. And I can tell you, I think sometimes torrential rain can be more hazardous than some of the weather that we saw in Pennsylvania before that game. I just think you can't tell me that if that game was that weather condition was in Green Bay or Denver, that or Buffalo, maybe even New England, that they would have canceled that game. I found it, I was somewhat outraged by it, and I commend Governor Ed Rendell for, you know, the worst comment. All that stuff. I think the players and most of the fans wanted that game. I know some season ticket holders, there'll always be some that say they made the right decision. But I hope this isn't a trend, Vic, in the NFL. With the exception of the Hurricane canceling the game in Miami, which we all understand, I hope football players are supposed to play and are conditioned to play in bad weather. And I think it's disgusting that they didn't play that game on Sunday.
Yeah, maybe disgust is too strong a word, but I'm with you. But Pete, I'm not. I'm not going to disagree here. Again, you know where I'm from. Mm-hmm. You know
sure.
where I live. You
absolutely.
I spent 18 seasons covering the Buffalo Bills. I've covered a good portion in this league of bad weather games. I was at the freeze ball or whatever it ended up being called.
Cincinnati.
Not the ice ball, a little too young for that, but the freeze ball in Cincinnati.
Well, yeah, of course.
When the Chargers played the Bengals in the AFC Championship game, I've been to Foxborough any number of times. I was certainly at the snow game against the Raiders, the playoff game. I call that one the snow globe in my mind. I know that people want to call it the tuck rule game. I felt I was in a giant snow globe that night, and anyone who was there, it was a memorable experience. And I'll add this, in that and other snowy games that I've even played there, usually staying in Boston when I cover the Patriots for NFL.com, I make the jaunt back home, and especially late at night. And look, I do I have some experience driving on snow and icy roads? Sure, but that means nothing if someone else slides into you.
That's
or
right.
The road is, I don't think there's enough experience you can have to avoid that kind of an issue. So it can be dangerous, yes, but I don't, it's still football. It didn't feel to me at any point when we were at those games or in some terrible weather games, I've been in Buffalo and Cleveland, where I said to myself, they shouldn't have played this game. I watched people sliding out of when the Bills played at the Browns a few years ago.
Oh, yeah.
I watched people, you know, how
I remember that game.
On like a hill.
Yep.
And there was an ice storm on top of a snowstorm, and I'm watching people slipping and sliding out of that stadium. And yeah, do you think of liability issues if you're the management of that team or it's a city municipal stadium, you know, the city, whatever. But the community may say to itself, this, we put people, but you know what they said? You come early, get yourself situated,
exactly.
Prepare, deal with it, dress right for it. That's what was
it's football.
Really nagging at me. Yeah, I kept looking at that situation in Philly and saying, how are they not playing this game?
And I don't know if you buy the conspiracy theorists about Michael Vick playing in the snow. I don't know. Michael Vick strikes me as a football player. I think he truly loves the game.
I think
he'd want
to
play. I know.
Yeah, I think that'd have been a play. You know what I think would have happened? This is just a guess. Yep. Who knows? I think if he made some of those runs, he'd be going one way and defenders would be sliding another. Mm-hmm. I think the kid comes out. What player have you ever – and you've talked with a ton of players, and I've talked with a ton of players through the years – almost to a man, they talk about how much fun it is to play in those conditions. The special teams maven for the Patriots, Izzo, right?
Yes, Larry.
Formally,
yep.
I mean.
Yep, formally, yeah.
Right? I remember talking with him after that the snow game, the tuck game, and he said this takes you back to your youth, to your childhood, all of us. And he goes, playing in the snow, just loving. And, you know, and I know some of the kids maybe from California or from the deep south who have never experienced it or experienced little of it. But I think there's a certain fun factor to it that the players enjoy.
And one last, this is going to be the toughest question you've been asked all year. I can promise you this, okay? There's a huge game coming up on Sunday. Who in the hell is going to win, St. Louis or Seattle? Now, if you can predict the winner of that game, I will take you out to dinner in Boston wherever you want to go because I am fascinated by that division. I know it's been a pathetic division in some ways, but who the hell can figure out that division?
All right, as long as this is a one-way bet and you pay me and I don't have to give you
that's
nothing.
Fine. That's fine.
anything at the end of it all. I'm going to go with the Rams. It's just the way I look at it, the Rams are not hardly anything great. That's the definition of that division. But the way I look at it is they have played some better defense, and their defense has I would think, gives them an edge. They're also going into a game where now it's it could be a hobbled Matt Hasselbeck. I'm not convinced he won't play in that game, even if he is hurting, because I think Hasselbeck is going to push his way through somehow to mitigate that pain. That he feels, I think, in his buttocks as he was saying it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Chris Long and some of the other defenders have O.J. Otagwe, they've stepped up and played pretty well. And the young quarterback, Sam Bradford, has been okay. He's been, obviously, he's a offensive rookie of the year, but he's done pretty well. So I'm going to go with the Rams in that one.
All right, Vic. And the other thing is, I hope, just real quick, I don't want to see them tweak the playoff system. I know the NFC, that division we're talking about, is, you know, had people up in arms, but I think that's an aberration. It doesn't happen often. And I hope they don't mess with something that is great right now in the NFL. I don't want to see them tweak anything.
I'm with you. Totally, Pete. I don't want to. I hope the cooler heads, calmer heads prevail with that one, and that they, when the competition committee and such gets together in the off season, I know they're going to talk about it. Certainly you heard Rich McKay, who's part of that committee, bring it up and, you know, obviously make it an issue. It's more than a fan or a talk show discussion. It's being talked about by people who can actually influence the decision. But I certainly hope that because I think what would occur would be an overreaction, and I don't want to see that.
Vic, thank you so much for taking a few minutes out, more than a few minutes. You were very gracious. And where are you going to be this week? Where are you at?
I'm actually going to stay close to kind of control central here. We're in our playoff mode, and all the writing correspondents, at least, are going to, for NFL.com, are going to be doing all our playoff preview stuff. And that basically begins immediately on Sunday. So I'm going to be working through the night Sunday and into Monday along with others. And enjoying every minute of it, starting to put together all our wild card preview material. So check it out.
Thanks again for your time. And tell your colleague Marshall Faulk, finally glad to see he admitted the Patriots are, quote, good.
I will do that, Pete. All right, buddy.
Vic, thanks. Good. Take care. Vic Carucci, NFL Network, NFL.com. Check him out. He is the absolute best, one of the best in the business. We'll take a quick break. Let's take a quick break. Then we're going to reset. I want to get to some of these emails and some of the, if you want, you can chime in with a phone call at the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-543-7482. Email me, webradio@patriots.com. I could have talked to Vic for, you know, he's just the best and one of the brightest in the business. When we come back, phone calls, emails, Facebook also is open. You can send me a message on Facebook. No private messages, please. Just post something to my wall. It's all part of the Pete Shepherd Show until 6 here on patriots.com.
Pete Shepherd. Pete Shepherd. The Pete Shepherd Show on American Airlines Patriots.com radio.
So, Pat, how many Advantage miles have you racked up on American Airlines this year?
That's kind of a personal question, Brian.
It's nothing to be embarrassed about.
I'm not embarrassed.
Okay, then I'll ask you again. How many miles have you racked up?
236,000.
Miles? That's gotta be wrong, because I fly a lot more than you.
Well, flying isn't the only way you can earn Advantage miles, Brian.
Right. I knew that.
I mean, you can earn miles when you buy all kinds of stuff, you know? Stuff you use every day.
Also, like, you know, ping pong balls, Argyle socks, really tall ladders.
Like clothes, you know, movie rentals, gas for your car.
Oh, shish kebabs, Russian nesting dolls, snow globes.
I was thinking, like, newspapers, you know? When you bank, go to restaurants.
Oh, fake mustaches.
Yeah, Brian. You can earn miles when you go to a novelty store and buy a fake mustache.
Awesome.
You can earn Advantage miles for the stuff you buy every day, whatever that stuff may be. Learn more at aa.com/advantage. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
You may know that Verizon Fios has more HD channels than cable, but what you may not know is that now you can sign up for Verizon Fios with no term contract required. And if you're not absolutely satisfied, you can cancel with no early termination fees. That's right. You can get Fios TV, internet, and phone at a guaranteed low price of just $89.99 a month for a year with no term contract required. And if you don't love it, you can cancel with no early termination fees. Just call 1-866-892-6057. That's 1-866-892-6057, and you'll know why now is the best time to switch to Fios. Get your game face on. Play the Gridiron Challenge at patriots.com/gridironchallenge and enter for your chance to win tickets and a chance to win the grand prize, an all-inclusive trip to the big game. Brought to you by Verizon. For official rules and terms, visit patriots.com/gridironchallenge. For new customers only, equipment charges, taxes, and fees and other terms apply. Rate may increase after 1 year. Fios service is available in select areas. Offer expires 9/18/10. Call for more details.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed. Go Pats.
With Patriots Checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots Checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Get ready for a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. You could win an all-inclusive weekend trip to Super Bowl 45. You're already halfway there. Just enter for your chance to win right here at Patriots.com. Simply click on the Verizon logo to play the Gridiron Challenge. It's that easy. And you could win weekly prizes, including Patriots tickets, autographed merchandise, and more. Start playing today. Brought to you by Verizon. No purchase necessary to enter or win. Must be a legal U.S. resident 18 years or older. Ends December 27th, 2010. Void where prohibited. For official rules, visit patriots.com/gridironchallenge. Now's your chance. Give Pete a call on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-543-7482.
Hey, back here on the Pete Shepherd Show, patriots.com. Give me a call if you'd like. Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-543-7482. Email webradio at patriots.com. Let me get to some of these emails. And I got some Ed Rendell stuff I want to get into again. And before the Ed Rendell stuff, I want to go over the recap of what happened in 2004. That's right, 2004. In a game with the 49ers. I'll get to that in a second as well. Here's, let's see. It's Brooklyn Matt. Pete shows up on the scene and starts speeding nails the moment he gets near a mic. Hey, Pete, you said everybody is going to be eating Pearl Jam when the Pats shut down Vic. I know I wouldn't say Pearl Jam. I probably said eating a lot of crow if it happened. I'm not saying they'd shut him down either. I'm saying the Patriots will win. Shouldn't that be swallowing Pearl Jam? You're in the fine form right off the bat. Okay, I've made a nuisance of myself enough. With the other guys up there early today, so that's enough for me today. I'm just going to shut up, eat gummy bears, and listen to the Pete Shepherd Show. No Pearl Jam for me today. Thank you. Brooklyn Madden, no Pearl Jam for you. 1 year. Come back. 1 year. William Barry. William says, let me make sure I get the name right. Sometimes. Oh, it is. It's Bill Barry. It's a good name, huh? Bill Barry. I like that. Hope you don't mind me using your last name. I just came home and heard the handoff between AK-47 show, the Paul Perillo, handoff to Pete Shepherd. Wow! Pete is what Fred used to be like. I'm not sure what Freddie's talking about. I know Paul's probably as ticked off as if Pete was an old lady cutting in line for a colonoscopy or whatever.
I resign.
But that was great radio. Next Tuesday, can Paul come see Rook for the last 10 minutes so we can have everything? But Patriots.com hates the fans, zero to hot, facts versus insane, educated with another set of facts, refusing to back down, pure homer. Just somebody to tell Pete to never say right. If Paul is not leaving the studio with a slamming down of his headphones, it was not good radio. Seriously, Pete is a Brian Morey that is not an idiot. Well, that's not right. I mean, I like Brian. Brian's a good guy. That was radio gold, although Fred may need to buy Paul a Miller Lite. Oh, before anyone gets any ideas, the handoff was awesome, but a Peter and Paul show will quickly get annoying. Oh, wait a second. I don't know if we get annoying. Worked with Paul many times. We've had many great debates over the years about the Patriots, different things. My opinion, all I'm saying is I have heard over the years, I've known for the last 7 or 8 weeks that this Patriot defense is a lot better than people have given credit for. That's all. And I've said it for weeks. No one's saying they're the 85 Bears or the 90 Cowboys or anything like that. They're just better than what people are giving credit for. And now when it's all said and done, and you can talk about numbers skewed, all this stuff, I don't want to hear it because nobody would do that when it was the Patriots, okay? And I'm telling you right now, on today, which is December 28th of 2010, at 4:56 and 22 seconds Eastern Standard Time, here in the great Commonwealth of Massachusetts on the planet Earth, the Patriots have allowed 306 points, and the Jets have allowed 297. 9 less points. This great, vaunted, incredible, high-strung, well-coached, highly motivated, unstoppable, Hulk-like Jet defense, 297 points, 9 less than the Patriots. Stop it! Stop it! Here's some more numbers for you. How about this? These are teams that have allowed more points than the Patriots. Indy, 368. Jacksonville, they were touted as a great team, 385. Philadelphia, 339. Giants, 333. Washington, 360. Dallas, 423. Tampa Bay, one less, 305. St. Louis, probably going to be a playoff team, 312. All those teams, with the exception of Tampa Bay, one less yard, and the Jets, nine less yards. Nine less yards. Nine less points. Nine. Three field goals. And all of a sudden, the Jets, the Jets defense was all that? They just gave up, 46 points to the Bears? How many did they give up? 48? I lost track. I needed a slide rule to figure it out. A team, the Patriots defense allowed, six? What was it? What did the Patriots win by? 45? Whatever, 45? What did they allow? 6 points to the Bears? What was it?
What are we talking about?
Patriots, Bears. What was the final score?
I think it was like 36-7.
36-7.
Yeah.
They allowed a touchdown to the Bears. The Jets allowed 40-plus points. How does that happen?
Yes, it was 36-7.
In better condition. 46 points, right?
The final score of the Bears game was 36-7.
The Jets-Bears game was what, 40?
It was 38-34, I think.
38-34.
Yeah.
38 points.
To the Bears.
To the Bears, a team the Patriots allowed seven points to.
Exactly.
So why is it the Jets are so much better on defense than the Patriots? Why is that at week 15? Why is that? Somebody explain that to me.
And it was interesting, too, Pete, that the Bears and Jay Cutler actually attacked that vaunted Jets secondary and were going over the top to guys like...
Gee, what a copycat league it must be. Watch the Patriots dissect the Jets, and we can all do it.
Guys like Johnny Knox were beating down Cromartie and Revis going deep. It was hilarious.
It was pathetic. And you know, and the Jets were, again, I mean, they blew, I mean, there was a play in that game, and forgive me for having a brain fart, but it was the Bears were second and 20. They were on their 15-yard line. I'm watching the game with Brent, and I'm looking, and I said, before the snap was, I said, here it comes. I said, I guarantee you, here is where Cutler really sucks. And he said, here is where he's at his worst. Big game on the line, kind of lousy condition, second and 20. I said, here comes the pick six, and bang.
Off the back foot across
now,
his body.
Granted, I'll give him credit because he came back and had a pretty decent game because the Jets' defense is so good. It's so good that all he did was march them up and down the field all day. I mean, stop it. Stop it with the Jets. Stop it with the Bears. They are both so overrated. They are going nowhere. You're not winning anything with the Bears or the Jets. It's not going to happen. Not going
to
happen.
I'd like to do a lot of things with those people.
Before I get to the Ed Rendell comments and more comments from Ed, as he commented on his comments.
A lot of commentary,
yep. A lot of alliteration for, but I love the governor's comments, and I'll, in case you missed it, I'll get back and read it to you, what he said. But I'm going to recap just real quick about what happened in 2004. Now, the Patriots had already clinched the number one seed, okay? And real quickly, and why I'm bringing this up is because my good friend Steve Buckley, who's an excellent columnist for the Herald, and wrote an article today about Tom Brady not being able to play, and he shouldn't play, and all that stuff. And Steve brings a lot of baseball analogies. Thank goodness most of them were from this century into his column today.
The host of the old-time baseball game.
That's right. He does a great job. But sometimes Steve and other baseball writers who cover football occasionally, and Steve is very knowledgeable when it comes to football, but he's much more knowledgeable when it comes to baseball. But you can't really apply baseball stories to football stories.
Screw the Sox. Let's talk some football.
It doesn't work that way. And he had a lot of baseball analogies regarding football being played and why Brady shouldn't play. And I'm not saying he's wrong. I mean, there's a lot of people that agree with him. And a lot of other columnists in the country that have written the same thing. But Bill Belichick is not everybody around the country. And all we have to do is do a little flashback music. Back to 2004. Patriots have clinched the number one seed again in the AFC. Here come the, I believe at the time, 2-14 49ers of San Francisco, the once highly touted and, you know, world champion, Joe Montana, Steve Young type. But they suck in 2004. They're awful. One of the worst teams in the NFL. So I'm just gonna read you the story from back in 2004, the little recap. And this is why you have to be careful about predicting how long Patriot starters, any of them, or the quarterback may play. Because there's no, I don't think anybody is going to know until the game is played and to see how it plays out. To sit here and try to prognosticate about how long Tom Brady or any of these starters on offense or defense are going to play, I think is insane. Because I go back, I learned my lesson back in 2004. I don't think any of us thought Brady was going to play more than a series. And, you know, Steve points out today in his column, you know, play like it is like a fifth exhibition game. And understand, I know a lot of people think that way, and I'm not saying that's the wrong way to think. All I'm saying is I don't know what Bill Belichick is thinking, and I don't know what his thought process is going to be as the game unfolds. And here's why. Here we go. 2004 from the AP. This is actually quite hysterical how it's written. Sounds like an anti-Patriot AP writer. Another poor start similar to the one the Patriots had Sunday could mean an early exit from the playoffs. Now think about that for a second. That's the opening line in the 2004 AP recap, okay, of the Patriots' meaningless win. They end up winning the game 21-7 over the pathetic San Francisco 49ers. Imagine that. That's the opening line. So that, to me, right off the bat tells me, you know, this guy is clueless, whoever wrote this. And again, the Patriots lost two fumbles, and Tom Brady threw an interception in the first half, but beat San Francisco 21-7, giving the 49ers a top pick in this year's draft as they matched their franchise worst 2-14 record. That's right, they were 2-13 coming in at 2-14. What did I say, 2-15? They couldn't be 2-15. Sorry. Patriots, a franchise best 14-2 for the second straight season, were coming off one of its best games in a win over the Jets and clinched a bye and the number 2 seed in the AFC playoffs. That's what it was. They clinched the number 2 seed, not the number 1 seed. And then they go on to say blah, 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 blah. But all I'm saying is the reason why I mentioned that is because Patriots lost two fumbles and Tom Brady threw a pick in the first half. Now, if that happens against the Miami Dolphins, my guess is the offense isn't coming off the field. I don't think the offense is going to come off the field until, or the defense for that matter, until Bill Belichick decides that they have played up to snuff. Now, I can also remember, and I forget, was it this year? Or I think it was last year in an exhibition game. And it was either, could have been week two or four, I forget. One of the ones that's usually meaning, it might have been, it was against the Bengals. It was against the Bengals. It might have been 07. I forget when. But to make a long story short, exhibition game, and I remember Bill, he had the second and third team in. We had the starters in, and they didn't do anything. And I think the second and third teamers came in and played a little bit better, but not a lot. But he was so disgusted in an exhibition game where you usually never see the starters. He said, all the starters back out.
Everybody just do your job.
Yeah, exactly, because he was so upset. So I just think, I know, I don't know how, you know, I kind of have an idea of how the man thinks in these situations, and how he thinks is he will decide at the right time when he believes his team has played up to what he, you know, good Patriot football. And it may take one series, may take three series, may take three quarters. I don't know. It's hard to get inside the man's head when it comes to a situation like this. So I am not going to even come close to predicting what's going to happen. You heard me talking with Vic earlier about Wes Welker. And, you know, it's the NFL. That happens. And, you know, the Patriots can't rest everybody, you know, boys and girls. I mean, there's some guys that you have to play. You know, they can't just play, and they're not just going to play 22 guys, you know, with a kicker. Not going to happen. So a lot of these guys are going to play, and you just hope, you know, injury can be avoided in a meaningless game. But for anybody to predict accurately how long they think any of these guys are going to play, well, you know, good luck to you. Your crystal ball is better than mine, because I don't know. I think if they play well in the first couple of series, then they'll be out. But if not, and maybe Bill might have in his mind that, well, they'll play a half, and then Hoyer and the rest second team will come in. But I really don't know right off the bat what's going to happen. So we'll see. In case you want to join me here on Patriots.com, a ticket hotline 508-543-7482. Web radio at email me, webradio@patriots.com. You can also Facebook me. Let me get some of these Facebook messages, get a couple up here. Let me just refresh my page. Let's see. Ed says, Pete, from what I've seen these last 2 years from Sanchez, I've come to the conclusion that he'll never be a great quarterback in the NFL. I think his success has hindered on his supporting cast performance, the running game, and this year, the addition of Holmes. Do you think he'll ever amount to anything? Also, do you think his ego is too fragile to play in New York, or can we look forward to embarrassing him for years to come? Well, it's interesting, and I'm not sure. I mean, have we seen enough sampling here? Now, what if for some miracle, God strike me lightning for even saying this, but say the Jets somehow go on some miracle run and he plays out of his mind and they get to Dallas. You know, I'm not ready to. I think he's a mediocre quarterback who plays. He's had some good games this year, though. Let's not. I've ate some crow with him as well. There's no question. I mean, I can remember back early in the season, the game in Miami, I thought he made some terrific throws. And you go back to the game against the Steelers, he made some really good throws in that game. And, you know, against the Jets, he made some nice throws. I mean, the Jets' defense was just not good. And it's been overrated the whole year, in my opinion, for most of it. So I don't know. I think he's okay. I'm not sure he's ever going to win a title, but I'm not ready to go that far yet. You know, Trent Dilfer won a championship, though. Don't forget, too, against with a great Baltimore Raven defense. So I don't know. But Sanchez, overall, I'll have to say, I'll admit it, Sanchez, to me, has had a better year this year than I thought he would. Now, he could crap out in the playoffs very easily. No doubt about it. But to me, overall, he's overall, the whole body of work, as I always like to say, I don't just take little snippets of players or teams, the whole body of work, I think he's had a better year than what I thought he was going to have. Matt says, I agree with Vic, but Patriots and Belichick take a lot of heat for doing the right thing. You're right, Matt. They do. They really do. They take the high road and a lot of issues that a lot of teams, Jets, would comment about and make stupid comments about and get away with. Tracy says, I think Obama should have waited until the season was over to call the Eagles. Two, the NFL was in a no-win situation. If the game is postponed, and I'll address these afterwards individually. The NFL, it was in a no-win situation. This is our second point. If the game is postponed, the NFL is a bunch of wusses. If they go forward with the game and people are injured, they could be legally liable for damages, or they'd at least spend a fortune defending themselves. Three, I watched the game last night, and I'll watch the game tonight. It actually is more convenient to have the games over two nights. Well, I understand that. But ask the Eagles if... what it's going to be like when they play on Sunday, after the short week. Number four, for the conspiracy theorists out there, was the game postponed to give Favre more time to recover so he can play? Let's address it individually. Number one, is I brought this fact up earlier about, in case you missed it, President Obama calling Eagles owner Jeffrey Lurie the other day, complimenting him on Michael Vick and giving him a second chance and yada, 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 blah, 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 all politics. And my reaction was, why is he doing this now? If not for political reasons, since his popularity has dropped a little bit as of late. Why now? Why not call him? Why not when he was a backup quarterback when Kevin Cobb was starting? You know, why now? And if the Eagles were 5-10, would the president have called the Eagles and said the same thing? I'm not so sure about that. The Eagles are 10-5, could clinch the number 2 seed in the NFC. And the president calls. Isn't that nice? As I said, in the whole grand scheme of things overall, it doesn't mean anything. Nothing. But I just find it odd that he picked that particular time. Why not call and congratulate the Eagle? You want to call and congratulate the team, but you're right. He's the president. That's fine. I respect the office. But I do not respect the timing of the call. I really don't. I think it's all political. As most politicians, are. But I'm wondering if the Eagles were 5-10 if he makes that call, or if Kevin Cobb were still the starting quarterback and Michael Vick had been behaving himself, which he has been, and he's done a great job in the speeches, and I've been pretty impressed at the things he's said this year, and especially more impressed with how he's, well, not only that, but I mean from a sports standpoint, how he's played quarterback, how he has reinvented himself as a quarterback and become one of the elite quarterbacks in the league. I have a ton of respect for him for that. But for the president to call when they're 10-5 and ready to clinch the number 2 seed in the NFC, it seems kind of fraudulent and phony to me. Something going on? Oh. Oh, great. Okay. Let's head to the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-543-7482. And Tiffany from Wisconsin joins me here on the Pete Shepard Show. Hello, Tiffany.
Hi, Pete. How are you?
Tiffany, how are you? You're the first Tiffany to ever call the show.
I love the show. I wish you were on more. I email you a couple of times.
But... I read your emails. I did. Oh, you're the Tiffany.
Yes, you do.
Oh, I did. Okay. And they're very good. In fact, I think I complimented you twice last week.
Yes, you did. I appreciate that.
So how outraged are you? I have a feeling I know what you're going to say. I don't know what you're going to say, but you're in Wisconsin. Are you a native New Englander, or are you just a...
No, I'm not, but I started liking the Patriots in sixth grade when they drafted Drew Bledsoe.
Yes.
My cousin and I.
So okay.
I'm kind of a Drew person.
Wow. Well, I was too for a long time.
Yeah, but I absolutely love the coach, and I love Tom Brady.
Okay.
I just want to comment about what Obama said to the Eagles.
Yeah.
He called them to compliment them on the alternative energy.
Yes. Well, he said there was 2 points. According to Peter King's story in Sports Illustrated, that was the second point. His first point, which I understand that the second point, the first point was about, all I'm talking about here, Tiffany, is the timing. That's
right,
all.
Right. I think the timing would have been better if it were after this whole thing. But I think what makes this more controversial is because of the MVP debate.
Well, see, I don't think it's controversy with the MVP debate. I really don't. Michael Vick's had a nice
season.
You've got
people who NFL players who come out and say that it should go to Vick. I personally think it should go to Tom Brady, but we really don't care, really.
But look at also remember the agenda of some of these so-called experts and so-called NFL players on ESPN and NFL.com. You know the agenda
they have against
the Patriots.
They hate the Patriots. They hate Belichick.
It happens all the time. And I couldn't believe, like I said, Marshall Faulk, it took him 9.5 years finally to come out on NFL Network the other day. I actually have it recorded. He said it. I'm going to use it as a Hallmark card. He actually said this, quote, "The Patriots are good." Now, that must have taken every ounce. That was like Superman fighting off kryptonite for him to say those words.
I agree. And I think that let's look at this. If it were Peyton's great year and Michael Vick was having the same great year, there wouldn't be a Michael Vick, Peyton Manning debate because Peyton Manning would be the one who would get the MVP.
Probably. He got it last year when he didn't deserve it. It should have been to Drew Brees last year.
Right. Yeah. What I'm saying is I think that people, when they see New England, Tom Brady, mm-hmm. Belichick, they see us as an evil empire, kind of Ivy League-esque.
Yeah, Yankee-esque, and it happens in all sports.
And the better story is that Vic and, what he's gone through, and the fact that he's come back and he's playing really well.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what it is.
Well,
I think that the controversy is there's a race base. I hate to say that, but I think it is.
Well, I hope that's not the case, because I don't look at it that. And I'll tell you what, if Brady were having the kind of year he had last year's numbers, which weren't all that bad, to be honest with you, going into this season, then even going up against Drew Brees and Peyton Manning last year, I think Vic would have a much better shot. But you can't. Brady is having such an incredibly spectacular season. I mean, it's just the record breaking pass attempts for an interception, the touchdown to interception ratio 34-4. I mean, stuff like that. It's just sick. I mean, it's absolutely sick what he's doing. And even though Vic has done much better this year, he missed a couple of games too. Don't forget.
Right. That's another thing that should disqualify him from that.
Well, and I don't know if we should disqualify him, but. It's just he's just coming up against a juggernaut this year in Tom Brady. And if Brady didn't have the kind of numbers he had this year, if you take him out of the equation, if he was had a mediocre season this year compared to all the other numbers, all the other great players are having, I would probably put Vic at the top of the list. I think you'd have to, but not against the numbers that Tom Brady has put up this year, and not what he's had to go through as far as reinventing the offense.
Absolutely, people aren't. Are looking at that, like this guy is he doesn't have a Deshaun Jackson. Deshaun Jackson is a great receiver.
You know what I'm hoping for? I hope it comes through because I want to see that little twit get pummeled. And I really want him to come over the middle once. And if anyone saw Gerard Mayo this week, the way he was playing, the way the Patriots were hitting, I would love to, because Deshaun Jackson's going to get his. I mean, he's going to get it. the way some of the antics that he's pulled and the shenanigans. Right. I'm not taking away. He's a great player. I mean, he's a fantastic.
Yeah.
He's a fantastic player.
But the antics is.
But he is going to get popped one of these times. It may not be the Patriots. It may happen by somebody other team in the playoffs. And whether he deserves it or not, that guy at some point over the next 3 weeks is going to end up flat in his behind. And I hope he gets his bell rung without getting seriously injured.
And I just got one more thing.
Sure.
I appreciate you defending this defense. I've been defending this defense since the Cincinnati game all season. Oh, I've been told they're not going to do anything this year. The secondary sucks. They allow too many yards.
Yep.
I appreciate you defending the Patriots as eloquently as
I'm saying is we're not – no one's saying this is one of the top defenses of all time. It's just they're
right.
Overall, they're probably a mediocre defense, but they're number one in turnover ratio, which to me makes them better than mediocre. And there have been too many games this year where they have been clobbering teams, and there's so much garbage yards allowed that people have a tendency, Tiffany, as you know, these fantasy football geeks, and they try to apply those kind of numbers to what really counts in the NFL. It doesn't work.
Okay. Well, thank you for taking my call. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. And I'm sure you agree with me. Living in Wisconsin, you know as well as I do, if it ever snowed as little as it did in Philadelphia and Green Bay, they would have played the game.
My mom and I were like, Philly is so soft, I'm telling you. All right, take care, sir.
Tiffany, you're the best. Thanks, take care. See, I mean, it's not just Brett Favre is inactive for tonight's game. Oh! What was the line, 14? Just went
I put my pants on just like anyone else, one leg at a time. Then
Brett Favre,
I pull my penis out.
Not playing! Maybe never play again. Does anybody really believe Brett Favre is never going to play in the NFL again?
Ball felt good. That ball there had silicone on it.
He'll come back for one game with somebody and then retire. There's no way Brett Favre has the ego to go out the way he did.
Here's an interesting thought. Somebody mentioned this to me the other day. I wanted to run this by you.
Yeah.
You know how Nomar came back as a Red Sox for a day?
Yes.
You think the Packers would ever do that for him?
No, you were reading my mind. Kev, nothing.
I don't see. I think the Vikings thing burned the bridge by going to the Vikings, but that's just because they were the rival of the Packers. The Packers didn't want to deal him to the Vikings in the first place. That's why they dealt him to the Jets, and Favre kind of weaseled his way out of there to get back to Minnesota. So I think that kind of burned the bridge, in my opinion, but I wanted to see what you thought.
No, I think you're right. I think there's a lot to, but you know what? There are a lot of times where Nomar burned a huge bridge with the Red Sox. Huge. I mean, at the end, it was just people understand Nomar what a pinhead he could be.
Such a distraction at the end when he got traded.
People don't really understand what a nutcase he was in so many ways. He really was. And some crazy, stupid story. I mean, nothing overly hurtful to anybody, but just kind of odd. ADD, I mean, he's crazy in a lot of ways. His pregame rituals, all that stuff. I heard a story one time. He yelled, and I won't say who, but I'll just give you, this is the kind of guy, Nomar, I'll give you one kind of goofy story. I know this is totally true. He yelled at a reporter one time, the reporters were out in the field before the game and, around the batting cage, that kind of stuff. Sometimes they're hanging in the dugout interviewing players. Somebody was putting on their shoe in the dugout or something, a reporter, and Nomar spazzed out because he was sitting next to, the reporter was sitting next to his warm-up jacket, and he didn't want his warm-up jacket to be touched by the reporter because that would have some kind of a devious effect on his
bad
game.
Juju.
I am not kidding.
That's
you.
Crazy.
That is a true story.
That is crazy.
I kid you not. I wish I could make that up, but I can't. Not to mention the red line, all that stuff. He was nuts. Nomar was nuts. Great player at one point, but in the end, had to go. That aside. What were we talking about? Oh, Favre, yeah. So he's inactive tonight, so the line went from 14 to 20 now.
Another night of Joe Webb.
I want to make sure everything's okay in Philadelphia. Is it going to be too cold or whatever? And you know what the other thing is? And this is why, and we're going to get the Ed Rendell stuff in a second. I've been putting it off because I'm reading these emails and everything, and there's just so much going on today. I wish we had a four-hour show.
It's a good thing.
It is. But, thank God Vic Carucci agrees with me. And I'll tell you what, Tom Jackson agrees with me, Chris Berman, there are so most of the guys. That's one thing I will say about everybody on all the different NFL network shows. I think 99% of the players were appalled that they did not play this game on Sunday.
And Teddy Bruschi spoke out today about it, Pete.
He did. In fact, yeah. Did you give me those quotes? I think they're. Hang on, they're right here. I think you gave them to me. But go ahead.
He almost went along the lines of that he was appalled that it was canceled from the perspective of the players because it was robbing them such a cool opportunity. And he reflected back upon the snow games.
Vic just brought that up.
He reflected back on the snow games he played as a Patriot here in Foxborough and kind of was just went over like what a great time it was for the players and the fans.
Yeah.
And to rob Philadelphia, the players and the fans, of that experience, he thought was a tremendous injustice.
But this, and you know what, I got to get back to Tracy because she was, Tracy, who I read on Facebook. So I was addressing her points one at a time, and I only got through one before Tiffany called. So we talked about the Obama thing. You know my feeling on that. I think it's just overly politicized, a lot of crap that from the president that, you know, it was just phony to me. Phony. I don't doubt his feelings, but call at the beginning of the season. You don't call when, you know, the team's 10-5. Call me at the beginning of the season. Now, as far as addressing point number two from Tracy, which is the NFL is in no situation if the game is postponed, the NFL is a bunch of wussies. If they go forward with the game and people are injured, they could be legally liable for damage. Well, that's not true. Or they at least spend a fortune defending themselves. That's not true either. First of all, what happens if they play an exhibition game, in the summertime here at Foxborough, and it's 100 degrees outside, say 115 on the field, and 25 people die a heat stroke, God forbid. Patriots liable for that? Any team liable for that? No, not going to happen. Fenway Park, how about in Texas? Well, I play a lot of the games at night over there. How about, I mean, let's apply all weather to this scenario. And I'm telling you, there have been torrential downpours that have made traffic just as bad, if not worse, than some of the snow we saw in Philadelphia on Sunday. There's always safety issues at games when the weather is for inclement weather. It's always that way. That's just the way it is. When you buy season tickets to a team, particularly in the Northeast or the Midwest, you know that probably at some point you're going to face inclement weather. That's just the risk you take. That's what happens. And I still stand by, and I know there's some season ticket holders in Philadelphia that called and said the NFL and the team did the right thing. And I'm telling you, the majority of fans probably pissed and probably agree with the governor. And the players, I'm sure, would have liked to. Here's another one from Vikings tight end Vasante Shenako said, surprised by Lisa. This is Shenako saying, quote, "The roads are bad for East Coast standards, but if this was the Midwest, there would be no way that this would be delayed. No way it would be delayed in the Midwest. No way. It's something that baffles me, but I'm not here to make decisions on when games are played." I think a lot of people feel that way. You know, 1982, granted, not a lot of snow. I know some of you probably don't remember, but, man, I remember it like it was yesterday. And Dan Fouts and that offense for the San Diego Chargers with John Jefferson and Kellen Winslow Sr., who was one of the greatest tight ends I've ever seen, and a great special teams player too, by the way. John Jefferson, Kellen Winslow, and, Dan Fouts, and they just had Air Coryell, and they were just unbelievable. Even the running back ended up being a cokehead at the end. What's his name? With the goggles. Oh, my goodness. How could I not remember his name? Ended up being a very good bat. I mean, the Chargers offense was phenomenal. But you knew that year, and Kenny Anderson and the Bengals, with Chris Collinsworth, by the way, was a pretty good player that year, and not a bad wide receiver at all in his day. And you just knew. They were talking about that forecast, not snow, and the Chargers got on that field in warmth, and I'll never forget it. It was on NBC at the time, or CBS, I think. It was NBC. It was NBC back then. Bob Costas was hosting the studio show, I think, if I remember correctly. Might have been Gumbel. Might have been Brian Gumbel hosting the show. In fact, I think it was Brian Gumbel back in 1982. Back then. Not Greg Gumbel, Brian Gumbel used to host NFL.
I was -3, so I can't.
No, that's when it was. And I was, I was 15 years old. I remember my dad and I watching the game, fascinated, or starting to watch it, and I went, oh my, I mean, where we were in Rhode Island at the time, it was cold. It was probably, you know, maybe 15, 20 degrees that day. And I went, my dad's telling me all the stories about watching the old Ice Bowl, Green Bay and Dallas back in the 60s, and, you know, and that was almost as bad, a little bit worse, actually. And the Chargers stepped on the field, they're showing them, and they had no chance. It was -42 with the wind. -42. Now, I don't know how all those Bengals fans to this day, I don't know how many people got injured. I don't know how many people had frostbite. And my guess is not many. You know why? because they went prepared, which is what you do on a Sunday when you play in a cold city in the NFL.
And you you consume plenty of oil before the game, too.
Well, yeah. Well, that doesn't help either. I mean, alcohol contributes to frostbite, as does smoking. It does not make you feel warmer. It actually contributes to frostbite. But I'm sure a lot of people were feeling no pain that day for Cincinnati.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
And they clobbered the Chargers that game. Clobbered them. Negative 42 people. Think about that. Negative 42 with the wind. Guess what? The NFL didn't postpone the game. Now, what do you think is potentially more dangerous? A football game played with minus 42 wind chill or 5 inches of snow on the ground before kickoff? I don't know. I think the wind chill factor to me. I've been outside many times in the snow. Driven in it many times. Did morning drive and radio for many years and drove at 3 o'clock in the morning through blizzards. You just do what you got to do. You do it. And if you are part of the NFL fan base and you are in the Northeast or the Midwest for the most part, you understand what to do, how to dress, how to prepare, when to drive, when to take public transportation. People who are NFL fans are not stupid. They get it. They can figure it out. Is it dangerous? Sure, it's dangerous. Crossing the street can be dangerous on a summer day. Yesterday was dangerous. Last couple of days in a blizzard was dangerous. We understand that. But you can apply danger scenarios to just about anything. And common sense factor. That's another. I love the common sense factor. Come on. I remember an Ohio State Northwestern game being played about 1999. Oh, had to be 2 feet of snow that fell during the game. Absolutely unbelievable. It was at Northwestern, too, just outside Chicago. And I can give you countless examples. I remember Ahmad Rashad making a miracle catch against the Cleveland Browns in blizzard conditions 1 year. Not to mention the Monday night game, Green Bay, Denver, Buffalo. I mean, I'm talking that was like a little flurry. What happened in Philadelphia on Sunday compared to what some of these other games have been played in over the years. So I do agree with the governor of Philadelphia when he says, quote, well, let's get to the quotes real quick. I got my picks coming up in about 15 minutes and we're going to take another quick break. And I know it's just been, I need more time. I really need more time today to get through everything, but I know we don't have it until 6 o'clock, but let's get to the governor. There's Ed. Let's get to what the little piece you put together, Kevin. Ed Rendell, governor of Pennsylvania. Now, we know the mayor of Philadelphia and the NFL, I won't use the word conspired, but discussed.
It was suspicious.
Postponing this game. And I heard the reaction. Now, Sunday, I'm thinking to myself, no, they're not going to actually do this. I mean, come on. They're not going to actually do this. And they did. So here's a reaction of the governor of Pennsylvania.
He's basically answering.
Ed Rendell, yeah.
Answering for his actions and his comments here.
All right, well, should I review the comments first?
They go through that, too.
Okay, all right, go ahead.
The primetime Vikings-Eagles game was postponed until tonight. It was a move that Pennsylvania Governor Ed Rendell, a huge Eagles fan, disagreed with, and via local news said we are turning into, quote, a nation of wussies. He made everyone aware of just how much he disagreed with it, and the governor joins us now. Thank you for joining us, Governor. The full quote is, quote, we've become a nation of wusses. The Chinese are kicking our butt in everything. If this was in China, do you think the Chinese would have called off the game? People would have been marching down to the stadium. They would have walked, and they would have been doing what they've been doing calculus on the way down. Why do you feel so strongly that this game should have been played on Sunday?
Well, first of all, it was advanced calculus problems that they would have been solving on the way down. And I want to give credit to Will Bunch from the Daily News. He, on Monday morning, wrote a great article, and he was the one who gave the Chinese analogy. Look, this is part of the wussification of America. We used to be a country that had a great pioneer spirit, a sense of adventure, a sense of courage, that we could do anything. And we canceled a football game. At game time, there were less than 6 inches of snow on the ground in Philadelphia,
yep.
Less than 3 inches of snow on the ground in the western suburbs, less than 2 inches of snow on the ground in Wilmington. Good Lord, what were the people in Wyoming and Montana thinking? What were the people in Chicago, Boston, and even Pittsburgh thinking? I mean, it was, look, the NFL says they did it because they wanted to protect fans from being trapped in the stadium after the game in a blizzard. Well, look, I think And first of all, that never happened. The major roadways were open, running. We have a great subway system. But in the end, what makes football special is we don't cancel games. You know, Tom Hanks said there's no crying in baseball. Well, we don't. There's no canceling games for bad weather in football. We play the game. When I was 13 years old, I saw Pat Summerall kick a field goal to beat the Cleveland Browns and save the Giants' season in 1958 in swirling snow. It was pitch dark, swirling snow, high winds. It was the most courageous football kick I've ever seen. And I can close my eyes and remember that play just like it was yesterday. That's the magic of football. The NFL should have let us make the decision.
Okay.
Let the fans who were informed about the conditions decide whether it was worth the risk of going down and maybe having a three-hour return trip home. We could have stayed home and watched it, or we could have gone to the stadium and had a magic memory.
Okay, and I know there are a lot of people around the country who do agree with your sentiments, but let me play devil's advocate with you, Governor. Hindsight's 20/20. The forecast called for much worse conditions. Isn't it more important for there to be safe roadways, safe travel, for people's lives not to be in danger than to play a game on a Sunday where it could be postponed to a Tuesday? What's the priority here?
Well, sure, but let's assume they call this game at 11 o'clock, not one drop of snow had fallen. Let's assume the snow was really terrible, really terrible.
As it was forecast to be,
correct?
The blizzard,
it was forecast. But let's say if the blizzard was forecast, at 5 o'clock, they could have said, we're urging people not to calm down to the game or to use extreme caution, or we're canceling the game at 5 o'clock. But at 5 o'clock, it was apparent that this was not going to be the storm they thought it was. Let's play football. And the players wanted to play. There's no question about that. Former players thought the game should be played. And
Thank
as far
you.
As public safety goes, look, it's our decision. What I would have done, and again, I'm the governor, so I get driven to the game. But before I was the governor, I drove my car into downtown Philadelphia, took the subway. We have a great subway system. It was running, functioning perfectly. I would have taken the subway to the game, taken the subway back. Downtown on a Sunday night had tens of thousands of parking spaces available. It would have been easy to do.
But logistically,
again,
don't you have to make that call?
Fans' choice.
But don't you have to make that call earlier than 2 hours before the game? Just you've made, you know, tough executive decisions. Go into the minds of the decision-making process. Don't you have to make that before 5 o'clock? Before two, three hours before kickoff?
No. When do we call baseball games off?
True.
And Fenway 2 minutes before.
Sometimes during it, but sometimes we wait right before the game. We call the game off. There may be 25,000 fans in the stands. Do you remember the Phillies-Tampa Bay
point.
Game that
mm-hmm.
took 6-7 hours to complete in the driving rain? Well, the people who were there will never forget it. They tell their kids and their grandkids, I was there at that game. It's a question of whether individuals are going to have the choice. And I think under these circumstances, individuals should have had the choice, whether they should have had the choice to weigh the risks against the rewards.
Okay.
It's a magical moment, and it's football. It's something special. It marks football as different from all other sports.
All right, before we get to talking about the team.
And by the way, Michael, let me ask you one other question.
Okay.
Let me ask you a question.
Okay.
No, I'm not supposed to.
That's cool. I'll do it all the time.
I do it all the time in Harrisburg.
Got my new hero.
All right, it's fast forward to 2014.
Oh, yeah, I know where you're going
Super
with this.
Super Bowl Sunday
mm-hmm.
at the Meadowlands.
I love it.
It's 10 o'clock. Not a drop of snow has fallen, but they predict 12 to 18 inches of snow. And although a lot of people in the Meadowlands, there are no hotels around, so mm-hmm. people are in New York, they're in Trenton, they're in Philadelphia. Do we call off the Super Bowl on Sunday and play the Super Bowl on Monday night?
I'm with you there. Look,
Michael,
was,
not a chance.
I'm with,
not
you,
a
I'm
chance.
With you there.
Oh, that's terrific. Our pal Michael Smith, who's a Boston guy and worked with Michael many times. He's great, does a great job on ESPN. And that was a tremendous, tremendous interview with Governor Ed Rendell.
Yeah, Ed Rendell's my new hero.
Of the great Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. And how refreshing that was to hear that. And you got to love it. You got to love it. I know he's a football fan, and again, it doesn't matter. Republican or Democrat, he happens to be a Democrat. And I just love what he's all about. Love what he stands for on this issue. Don't know much about his other politics. Don't know much about the state of Pennsylvania politics. I don't care. Not my job to care. I care about what he thinks about the Philadelphia Eagles and the National Football League. And I think he's 100% on. Not because it agrees with everything I've said. Not because he brought up examples. Pat Summerall, which, by the way, is the second greatest kick of all time. Vinatieri was first. We all know that. But Pat's kick is regarded as the second greatest kick in the snow of all time. You know, there are countless examples around the Northeast and the Midwest that you can, you know, I can give you. I mean, there's tons. It just wasn't that bad. And I know the forecast, like he said, was supposed to be worse. But so what? How many times is the weather? It's tough. Midwest and Northeast, tough to predict exactly massive amounts of snow. I mean, they got this one right around here recently. All right? Of course, the coverage during and after was pathetic. I mean, just absolutely pathetic. I mean, to see some of these people build a little snowman on the road and stick their hand down to see how far. Oh, look, we have 1.5 feet of snow here, and stand on snowdrifts, and they're walking, and they're shaking tree limbs, and it is freaking useless. In a blizzard, all I want to care, here I go in my tan, all I want to see is put the traffic reports on, show a couple exactly. shots of the roads.
Give me what's important.
I care less, and nobody gives a damn. And I work in the media, so I know how this works, about the little cutesy little ways that they put the reporters and little snow bunnies out there, men, women, and then they got up, and, you know, it's bad enough at summertime when they have the reporters wade into the water on Castle Island and have the little kids go and touch the microphone as they're trying to interview mommy in her bikini, and that she shouldn't be wearing. And it's bad enough to see interviews like that. And I'm telling you around here, we are obsessed. Well, I think the news media thinks that people here are obsessed with the weather. They canceled every show on the planet locally.
Yeah, it was annoying. You couldn't find anything to watch.
And, well, it's not just that, because there's plenty of cable stations. But, man, I mean, useless stuff. Useless. Blathering about nothing. Just show me all I care about is the roads. And the amount of snowfall that you believe is forecast. That's all I need to know. Reporter standing out on the side of the road doesn't mean anything. Reporter driving down Route 3 to Plymouth doesn't matter to me. It's a freaking blizzard. We get it. It's going to be hazardous. We don't need to be talked to like some 2-year-old toddler, like we're just, just got our driving permits. We get it. Everybody around here in New England has driven in the snow before for the most part. We get it. We all know the hazards of doing it. And they talk down to you like you're some fool. But the stuff, standing on snowdrifts and shaking tree limbs and this, that, and I mean, it is just nauseating. Anyway, just a thought. I'm going to take a quick break. When I come back, more thoughts, more phone calls, hopefully, and if you want, and more emails. And then I will get to my picks. I did redeem myself. 10-5 last week. Obviously, the Eagles game got canceled or postponed until tonight. So I didn't pay it. But 10-5, not too bad last week, because I did redeem myself after that pathetic 2-14 the week before. So more of my picks coming up on a very tough week to call in the NFL. But I'll read more of your emails on Facebook and also at webradioandpatriot.com. And if you want to call me, 508-543-7482. Pete Shepard Show at patriot.com until 6.
Pete Shepard. The Pete Shepard Show on American Airlines Patriots.com radio.
So, Pat, how many Advantage miles have you racked up on American Airlines this year?
That's kind of a personal question, Brian.
It's nothing to be embarrassed about.
I'm not embarrassed.
Okay, then I'll ask you again. How many miles have you racked up?
236,000.
Miles? That's gotta be wrong, because I fly a lot more than you.
Well, flying isn't the only way you can earn Advantage miles, Brian.
Right. I knew that.
I mean, you can earn miles when you buy all kinds of stuff, you know? Stuff you use every day.
Also, like, you know, ping pong balls, Argyle socks, really tall ladders.
Like clothes, you know, movie rentals, gas for your car.
Oh, shish kebabs, Russian nesting dolls, snow globes.
I was thinking, like, newspapers, you know? When you bank, go to restaurants.
Oh, fake mustaches.
Yeah, Brian. You can earn miles when you go to a novelty store and buy a fake mustache.
Awesome.
You can earn Advantage miles for the stuff you buy every day, whatever that stuff may be. Learn more at aa.com/advantage. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
You may know that Verizon Fios has more HD channels than cable, but what you may not know is that now you can sign up for Verizon Fios with no term contract required. And if you're not absolutely satisfied, you can cancel with no early termination fees. That's right. You can get Fios TV, internet, and phone at a guaranteed low price of just $89.99 a month for a year with no term contract required. And if you don't love it, you can cancel with no early termination fees. Just call 1-866-892-6057. That's 1-866-892-6057. 972-6057, and you'll know why now is the best time to switch to Fios. Get your game face on. Play the Gridiron Challenge at patriots.com/gridironchallenge and enter for your chance to win tickets and a chance to win the grand prize, an all-inclusive trip to the big game. Brought to you by Verizon. For official rules and terms, visit patriots.com/gridironchallenge. For new customers only. Equipment charges, taxes, and fees, and other terms apply. Rate may increase after 1 year. Fire service is available in select areas. Offer expires 9/18/10. Call for more details.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Get ready for a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. You could win an all-inclusive weekend trip to Super Bowl 45. You're already halfway there. Just enter for your chance to win right here at patriots.com. Simply click on the Verizon logo to play the Gridiron Challenge. It's that easy. And you could win weekly prizes, including Patriots tickets, autographed merchandise, and more. Start playing today. Brought to you by Verizon. No purchase necessary to enter or win. Must be a legal U.S. resident 18 years or older. Ends December 27th, 2010. Void where prohibited. For official rules, visit patriots.com/gridironchallenge. Now's your chance. Give Pete a call on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-543-7482.
All right, back here on Patriots.com for a few more minutes. I'll have my picks coming up in just about 4 or 5 minutes or so. We'll get through them all. And I apologize to my Facebook friends. My own laptop it was charged, and now it's not charged anymore, so that's done. So I can't read any more Facebook messages today, but you can still email me, webradio@patriots.com. Gordon in Des Moines, Iowa says, they guaranteed they would have played football there. By the way, the Hawkeyes, even despite their running back being out tonight, they're going to win, going to beat Missouri. Do you think the Eagles postpone their game because they think they have a better chance to win tonight? Well, that's the conspiracy theory that's out there, Gordon. And, you know, I don't know. I talked about it with Vic Carucci earlier today from NFL Network and NFL.com. We both agree. We think Vic would have loved to play in the snow. I mean, I think he would have loved it. I think Michael Vick truly enjoys and loves the game of football. I think he's one of those players. I don't think it's a show. I think he really loves to play. So I think he would have enjoyed it. I know if you're a fan, you would have enjoyed it. Certainly NFL networks would have enjoyed it to watch. But, well, we'll never know. I hope the mayor of Philly is very comfy and cozy tonight. And, you know, it's just a very, very nice game. And as I'm sure there'll be no accidents to and from Lincoln Financial Field at all on this chilly night into Tuesday. I'm sure it'll all go very well because there never has to be a safety issue. On a Tuesday night, just, 4.5 inches of snow before kickoff, and, all hell breaks loose. I'm dripping with sarcasm. Yes, I am. Did we resolve anything today, Kev? I'm not sure. We touched on a lot of interesting stuff, a lot of gray area subjects. I understand. That's what makes it.
I think we made our opinions known on the whole game tonight.
Oh, I know that.
And our love for Ed Rendell. I think we both found a new hero.
Yeah, Ed Rendell is terrific. And I woke up this morning and saw the quotes, or late last night, actually, and it just was just tremendous, absolutely tremendous. President Obama, his fraudulent phone call to Jeffrey Lurie of the Philadelphia Eagles.
That's another thing we resolved.
Yeah, that Obama was fraudulent in his phone call.
I think we're both pretty sure and have kind of made our case for Brady over Vic in the MVP.
Well, to me, it's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
It really is. I mean, Michael Vick is having a very good season. It may be an MVP-type caliber season any year of the year, but not against this guy and these numbers. No way.
So in reality, we accomplished a lot today.
We did accomplish a lot. And your Christmas was good?
was good, except for the lack of gift that I was explaining to you in the hallway here.
I don't know if you want to get into that.
I asked for one thing for Christmas.
Santa Claus did not give you your one thing?
No, I was hoping for a GPS for the car that I could use, a nice functional gift.
Who are you asking from?
I asked quite a few people. Both parental units, the girlfriends.
The parental units? Well, see, my parental units, I gave my parental units the first laptop for Christmas this year.
There you go.
Their house is getting wired tomorrow for wireless.
Okay. And that's
first
a great
time.
Gift.
I won't say the company or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. But great gift. And I told my sister, I said, I'll get it. I'll pay for everything. I don't care.
Yeah.
But no way on God's green earth am I sitting down with them.
To try to explain it. Yeah.
So that is up to her and my beautiful niece.
That's fair.
Who's going to sit there and that's fine. Yeah, I'll pay for it. You teach it.
And that's a great gift, though, Pete. But I was just hoping, for practicality reasons, it's something great and I could use.
So you expressed yourself to the parental units about your craving for a GPS.
They
you were denied. Why is that?
I don't know. They
are you naughty?
Perhaps, like your parents a little bit, are kind of afraid of technology. Yeah. They don't really use it a lot.
Oh, yeah.
We have...
Well, my parents can't turn on the DVD player.
Exactly.
They can't.
We have
they're wonderful. I love them to death, and they are phenomenal.
We have a desktop in our house that we don't even have a laptop or wireless or anything, and they are barely, bare minute. Like, they can turn it on and check your email, and that's about it. And they don't even know how to use the printer. If God forbid, if anything needs to be printed, they have to ask me.
Yeah, that's...
I think the whole thought of, like, going into a store and asking, like, which GPS is best, how do I know I'm getting a good deal, all that stuff kind of daunted them. But I was hoping with, like, looping the girlfriend in with it that, like, they would work together. And
looping the girlfriend could be a dual gift. They could have split it. Looping the girlfriend as a buffer between yourself and the parental units, and you still could not come to
a solution. I got a whole pile of underwear.
Are you communicating properly?
I think I am. I don't know how I could be more clear. I want a GPS. Hello, waving my arms.
You got 25 pairs of underwear. At least you
got underwear and a couple sweaters.
At least you don't have to do a wash for a month.
And you want to? I'm probably going to get killed for this by the guys upstairs for admitting this. But
yeah.
My mom, God bless her, loves me.
Yeah.
And still thinks.
How could you not?
Still thinks that I'm like the little boy. You know, the little Kevin, if you will.
Well, it's always that way.
So
I'm 43 years old, and my parents still treat me like.
So I open up. I'm opening up some of the stuff.
Yeah.
And, I'm getting the underwear from the girlfriend. I'm getting the sweaters and the dress shirts from the mom. And I'm God, I want this GPS.
Yeah.
So there's a box that kind of looks like it might be of the size.
Let me guess. Slippers.
No, even worse, Pete.
No, wait.
New England Patriots sheets.
Oh, no!
With matching pillowcases.
Did you get the Feedy pajamas, too?
I was hoping. With matching pillowcases.
No, Kevin, no. You're making that up.
No, I'm dead serious. I'll take a picture and show you next week. And then you know what she says to me? Here's the killer.
Use them on your bed?
Here's the killer.
I'll use them if you don't use them.
She's like, I'll make your bed tonight. And she's all excited and everything. And I'm just like, you got to be kidding me. Because I moved home for, moved home.
Yeah.
For like 2 months because I'm in between places and we're going to sign a new lease.
We've all been there. Yep.
So I'm like, all right, I'll be here for 2 months. And she's all excited. She's like, I'll put them on your bed. And she's like, I'll be on the lookout for the matching quilt. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me.
Oh, my God.
And I just like don't know what to say to her. I'm just like, what am I supposed to do with this?
What can you say except thank you?
I did in that. But
try,
I mean.
You lock yourself in the closet.
So
and
they
you
are.
And you laugh.
For all you listeners and everything, they are on the bed, and I did sleep in them last night.
You slept on your New England Patriot
with matching pillowcases. They're very soft. Very soft and warm.
Of course they are.
But that was my Christmas treat.
It's like something you went out of a cereal box or something, right?
Yeah.
You open a box of Rice Krispies, you get a coupon for Patriot. Now, knowing that you work here and get the little discount across the way that employees here do.
Yeah.
So she didn't even ask.
She didn't even ask. I think
not even a 30%. No, I don't even know if at the pro shop if they.
I don't
have.
Even know if they sell sheets. That's the scary part.
They could. I don't want to.
It's like where did you get these?
By the way, it's the best pro shop on the planet.
Oh, it's phenomenal.
You could spend hours in there, literally hours, and I spent a lot of money in there this year myself, to be honest with you.
But so now you see where I'm coming from. I was a little bit disappointed that I didn't get that GPS. That's all. But overall, it was good to be with my family. The Patriots won, so I don't have a lot to complain about.
Yeah, I mean, you're healthy and you're just GPS-less, that's all. So now you don't have any idea of how you're going to get home.
I'll have to ask Jason for a raise to buy me one, that's all.
I did that before once.
Yeah, we'll see how that went. We'll see how this goes.
Well, you deserve it. I mean, you certainly deserve it. Wow. Kevin dissed by the parental units on his GPS. The humanity.
Yeah.
The absolute humanity.
Next week, I'll be sure to have a picture of my sheets. I'll take one on my BlackBerry for you.
I got everything I want. I mean, I just, when in doubt, just tell people, give me a Best Buy gift certificate. I don't want people buying me stuff.
That's
fair. I got some clothes, some stuff, but I'm one of those guys. I like doing my own thing. Yeah. I'd rather get the gift certificate.
And I'm not a huge clothes guy, and I don't. It's like when I was moving. I'm moving out of my apartment, right?
Yeah.
And I'm carrying all these damn clothes, and I'm just like, why do I have this crap?
Well, that's it. You ever go through? And I do at least one now. Now I don't have to, but the last 2 years, I went through clothes and.
It's unbelievable.
Just forget it. I mean, that's what the Salvation Army is
and
for.
Some of the stuff I'm finding has, like, tags on it. And I'm trying to explain to my mom, I'm like, listen, I'm not denying this stuff is nice and that, you know, I'd like to wear it, but I can only wear one thing a day.
Yeah,
I can't wear eight things a day.
Exactly. And that's why I think it's mostly, you gotta get your own stuff. It's so hard to buy clothes.
And she gives my dad, like, the same stuff. She gives him, like, pretty much the same clothes as me. And he just looks at her and goes, I thought I said no clothes this year. And he gets all upset, right? So he goes up to his closet, starts pulling stuff out of his closet. And all right, if I'm going to keep these clothes, I'm getting rid of one item for everything I'm keeping and starts throwing stuff out of his closet.
Oh, my God. Wow. That's funny.
So we had a funny Christmas morning.
Oh, I bet you did. That sounds like, fun for the whole family. And, it's hard to, parents are, it's interesting. You know, I sometimes think that my parents have not nearly as bad, but you know what I'm saying? This is an over-exaggeration, but there are times when there's no question that my parents have morphed into the Costanzas.
Oh, yeah. I feel the same way.
It is unbelievable. I never thought it would happen because we used to make fun of other people's parents who did that.
Yep.
But, I mean, it's just like
the funny thing is
everything is an argument and it's silly. It's almost like the roles have reversed and, I have to be the disciplinarian and they have to, but when in doubt, I do the Bill Cosby thing. I throw my hands up.
It's funny because.
Yes, I'm the dad. Yep.
The roles reverse and they go backwards because now they're becoming the kids and you're becoming the parents.
And I can't win. I can't argue. I don't like to see them get upset. They're getting on in years. I don't like to see them get on. So I throw my hands up. Okay. All right. They get mad. My dad turned on the computer.
I surrender.
Turned on the computer the other day on Christmas Day trying to show him, just without being wireless, I'm trying to show him the programs. I'm like, look, here's a chess program that's already pre-installed, blah, blah. And just to get him to slide, because the mouse was plugged in. I said, well, learn how to use both. So first we're using the slide mouse on the laptop.
Yeah, the touch thing.
I mean, it just couldn't get it. Couldn't slide his finger across. It was, pushing down. When you push down, it clicks.
Yeah.
You don't want to put it. You just going to slide gently. You know what it is. But just doing that little thing, I thought it was going to have a nervous breakdown. So.
Why did you get me this thing?
Oh, no. He was very – they're going to learn. And they have those tutorial programs now on laptops. So I was like, my sister Andrea, I'm like, that's your job. Just get it going and you take care of it. All right. Enough about that. I had a wonderful Christmas. Looking forward to a wonderful New Year, New Year's Eve as well. Anyway, it's time now, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Put the stove on hold. Stop microwaving. Gather the children around the radio. For what arguably usually is the toughest week to call in the National Football League as far as picks against the spread go. Because so many games are meaningless. And there are those this week too. There are a lot of games that are meaningless. But I'm going to take a stab at it anyway. Meaningless game number one. If I remember correctly, the Chiefs cannot improve anymore on their status. They've clinched the division. They are what they are. I think they're going to be the four seed.
With that San Diego loss, they got their hats and T-shirts.
So they're going to be they're going to be the four seed, right? Or they could be the five. No, they could be three. There are three or four. They're going to be a four, depending on what happens with Indy and Jacksonville.
Yeah.
I forget. Let's call them. I'm going to call them. I think they're going to be the three seed.
Yeah, because they're ahead of Indy right now.
Yeah. And Indy could still not make the playoffs if they don't win and Jacksonville does. We'll get to that in a second. So there is still something kind of to play for. So Kansas City's at home against Oakland. Raiders played tough last week against Indy and lost. Kansas City, Matt Castle. Here's the other thing, though. Here's the other thing that cracks me up, getting back to football real quick. After the games on Sunday on ESPN, and I look forward to watching, I know when they do the blitz as Chris Berman says. And they had a lot of extra time last week because when NBC Football Night in America has a game, ESPN has to stop doing football coverage at like 7:15, whatever it is. So because because the game was postponed last week, so they got to do a lot more highlights. So it was great, and I like it. It was just Chris, Tom Jackson, and John Saunders actually was in studio with them. It was fantastic. So they are going through all these games last Sunday, all of them, right? They go all the highlights, all these 3-4 minute highlights, everything else. They get to the Patriots game. They show three things. They show Woodhead, Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, and a Brady Gronkowski touchdown. And instead of having all this in-depth analysis and all that stuff, basically John Saunders comes out and says, who's going to beat this team if they're running the ball like that? And he just kind of threw their hands up in the air and went on to the next game. There was like no analysis. They had nothing to say. There was nothing to analyze. Oh, they were like dumbfounded. They're just like, well, and then Dilfer came back on later in the segment. They did another little tiny little thing. He just came back out. He's like, look, he said, we could talk about all these other teams. He said, with the New England Patriots, if they run in the ball like that, he said, the only way they lose is if they beat themselves. That's it. That's all that was said. That's how awesome this team is they have ESPN people dumbfounded. They don't know what to say. So that's where we're at. I thought it was freaking hysterical. You know, they had nothing to say. So I like, in closing, this is what I love too, the other part about ESPN NFL Network all of a sudden. The Chiefs have all of a sudden become the trendy team. Nobody wants to play the Chiefs because Romeo Crennel and Charlie Weiss know the best. Blah, 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 blah. Stop it. If I had to choose a first-round opponent for the Patriots, or not a first-round, but a second-round, give me Kansas City. Out of all the teams, give me Kansas City. Give me them. They'll be blown away into oblivion. The Chiefs can run the ball. The Chief, Matt Castle. Great year. I'm glad. I've been rooting for the Chiefs all year. I want to see the Chiefs do well, and I hope they don't play the Patriots in any way, shape, or form until the AFC Championship game. That would be great drama. I wish the Chiefs nothing but success. Love those guys over there. Done a great job. But all of a sudden, the Chiefs now are the media darlings because they can run the ball. It's a passing league. Good luck. Matt Castle leading this team to, you know, a playoff win possibly against the Patriots. No way. No way. All right. Now I'm off my little sim. I meant to bring that up earlier. Kansas City Chiefs, in case you haven't known, don't know, they are now the trendy pick for everybody on ESPN and NFL Network. But I'm picking the Chiefs this week. -4 over the Raiders. How about that? I'll do the Patriots. At Indianapolis, Colts, they are fighting for their playoff lives. They get a win. They're playing Tennessee. Tennessee playing a little bit better lately, but I think Indy blows them out. Indy -9.5. They get the play there. Indianapolis is going to got nothing to lose. They're going to throw all the stops out of Tennessee. Jacksonville is at Houston. This could end up being a very, very interesting game. Call me crazy. I'm going to take the Texans here. I know they're calling for Kubiak's firing, all that stuff. I just got a feeling. I don't like the way Jacksonville's been playing lately. I just think they're going to choke, and Indy's going to make the playoffs. I like Houston, +2.5. Pittsburgh is at Cleveland, -6. I like the Browns. I don't think gaming's much of the Steelers. They're going to clinch the #2 seed. I like the Browns to cover that one. They've been playing hard anyway, and I think 6 points, even if the Steelers really meant something, I think 6 points is a lot in that game. The Cleveland plays tough. Baltimore is home, 9.5-point favorite against Cincinnati. Well, the Bungles are done, despite the Chargers not showing up on Sunday, which was absolutely pathetic. And North Turner is going to keep his job? Oh, unbelievable. The most incredible thing is, and here I am repeating myself at week 14, is that Marvin Lewis still has a job. I take Baltimore, -9.5. I'm going to take them. Detroit, they're on fire. Going up against the Minnesota Vikings team that's playing tonight. Detroit, -7. I'll take them. Lions big. Giants, -4. Washington. Who the hell can figure out the Giants? I don't know if they can stop anybody. Can they stop Rex Grossman? Not sure. I'll take the Redskins at home, +4. Giants suck right now. Green Bay is home against Chicago. This could be one of the best games of the day. Green Bay fighting for their playoff lives. And I just think the Bears are frauds. I know they won't cancel the game in Green Bay. I know that, no matter what the weather is. I'm taking the Packers, -6.5. I still think, overall, and they may not even make the playoffs, I still think the Packers might be the best team in the NFC when totally healthy, when it's all said and done. Next game, at Philadelphia. 12-point favorite against Dallas. I don't know. The game probably going to mean nothing to Philadelphia after tonight. They'll clinch a number two seed. I'll go with Dallas plus the 12 in that scenario. The Jets are home against Buffalo. Overrated Jets. I was one stupid Ben Roethlisberger touchdown away from making this a must-win game for the Jets. But they backdoor into the playoffs again, and their cackling coach at the podium on Sunday laughing it up. I don't know. Can the Jets lose a seeding in this? It doesn't really matter, right? It doesn't really matter to them. Jets are minus -3 against Buffalo. I don't know how much this game is going to matter to them. Not sure. But I'll take the Jets minus -3 reluctantly.
Really beautiful seed.
Atlanta is home against Carolina. Falcons still playing for that number one seed. They're still playing for something.
And the division. I think they blow them out.
So I agree with you. I think Carolina gets blown out in this game. Atlanta, minus 14.5. They get the call there. Falcons going to be upset. Fumbling on the one-yard line. Wow. New Orleans, minus -8 at home against Tampa Bay. This is another interesting game. I do not believe in the Buccaneers. I haven't all season long, and I will not believe in them in week 16. Despite the fact that they clinched a playoff spot too, right? So New Orleans still playing for a lot. I like the Saints, minus -8. San Francisco is home against Arizona. Flip a coin.
What an attractive game that is.
New coach, Singletary's gone. I'll take San Fran, minus -6.5. Arizona sucks. San Francisco sucks too. But San Fran's at home, so that might suck less. So I'll go with San Francisco. San Diego is home. Oh, I'm sorry, they're at Denver. I think the Chargers, that was one of how North Turner keeps his job after that awful performance against the Bungles in Cincinnati.
Go f*** yourself.
9-point favorites, and they just didn't show up at all. They were never in the lead in that game. They were down early. I mean, I like Denver. I kind of like what I've seen out of Tim Tebow. I like what I've seen out of him the last couple of weeks. I'm taking Denver plus 3.5. And what may be the toughest game of all time to call. Seattle is home against St. Louis. This is so tough. Matt Hasselbeck a bit banged up. I like Bradford for St. Louis. This is so hard to call. This is going to pain me to do this because I really want the Rams to win. And the Seahawks, it's not like they've been great at home. I mean, not like they've dominated at home. Not as bad as Miami, 1-7.
And it's looking like Hasselbeck might be a stretch to play.
He might be a stretch to play. But I think he will play. I'm going to go on the assumption now it's Tuesday that he will play. Seattle is home against St. Louis. I'm going to go with the Seahawks reluctantly. And Pete Carroll gets it done and gets the Hawks into the playoffs against a very you got to give St. Louis a lot of credit for being where they are this year. Nobody thought that. Bradford's a real deal. He's going to be a great one in this league. Not a good one. I said it. I think he's going to be a great one in this league by the time the dust is settled. Seattle, minus -3. They get to play. And I'm hoping St. Louis proves me wrong. And now, the New England Patriots. At home, only a 3-point favorite against Miami. What does that tell you? My feeling is this. It will not be a repeat of 2004. Patriots starters will play a quarter, maybe a little bit more, but I doubt it. They come out, and it's still going to be enough to win. They're going to squeak this one out, probably by a touchdown or so, maybe more. I'm taking the Patriots minus -3 in an absolutely meaningless game. The score is going to be 20-10 Patriots. 20-10 New England on January 2nd. And I hope it's a freaking blizzard. How about that? I hope it's 8 feet of snow on the ground and they don't cancel the game. How about that?
I thought this was America, huh? Isn't this America? I'm sorry, I thought this was America.
That's going to do it for me. I'm going to use the corny phrase. Talk to you next year, everybody. That'll be our next show on the 4th of January. We'll be talking playoffs and bye week and all that good stuff. And let's pray for everyone in the great Commonwealth of Pennsylvania tonight that they can get to the game safely and not have to sue the NFL, the Eagles, and the Vikings tonight. I wish them all Godspeed. Have a great and safe rest of your Tuesday night, everybody. Thanks to Kevin producing this whole thing. Talk to you next Tuesday. Bye-bye.
Pete Shepard. The Pete Shepard Show on American Airlines Patriots.com radio.